Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Paschal candle is no longer lit. Why? Because the Paschal candle is nothing but a symbol that we used to symbolize those 40 days that Jesus spent visibly with his disciples from the day of his resurrection until the day of his ascension. And now, as of this last Thursday, we remember that Christ is ascended on high, far above the heavens. The Paschal candle is no longer lit, as if we needed a reminder that Jesus no longer walks among us, his church, as he did with his disciples. We know it only too well. Jesus has ascended on high, but we, his church, are still here below. And as Jesus warned his disciples in the gospel today, that spells trouble for you and me. We sang in that hymn that we just sang, that we rarely sing, but that hymn of Martin Luther that speaks of snares that are set for the church, and though it's not in the English, it's in the Greek of the gospel today, that snares will be set for Jesus' disciples, and we would have absolutely no chance of avoiding them except for the one thing, the one hope, the one help that Jesus promises his church left here below on this earth. Our only hope, our only help is the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus' disciples, who had spent all that time with him, who had seen him, who had heard him, seen his miracles, saw him die, saw him alive again, knew him, right, better than you or I could ever hope to know him, except that wasn't enough. Jesus told his disciples, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. 3 years watching Jesus, following Jesus. That's not what would sustain the disciples in all the snares that would be set for them in the days to come and the years to come. 3 years of watching Jesus and following Jesus wouldn't help the church that would be built on the apostles' testimony either. What would keep Jesus' disciples and his church from being caught in a snare is the help of the Counselor who would come, the Spirit of truth, who would testify about one thing, me, Jesus said. What is the Holy Spirit's testimony? It's so deep that a lifetime of study cannot fathom the depths of what he testifies to us about Jesus. And yet, the story is very simple, and you know it. What is his testimony? That the eternal Word of the Father created all things and is the light and life of men. Men who have been rejecting him since the very Garden of Eden and still reject him today. Men who have been separated from God by sin. But he points to Jesus not only as the creating Word, not only as the light and the life that men have rejected. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus as the miracle of miracles. The God who became man and took on human flesh. He points to Jesus as the man who in our place was obedient even to the point of death, even to the point of death on a cross. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus as the one who rose from the dead and now lives forever, never again to die. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus crucified and risen, and says to all, repent of your sins Repent of everything and believe. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The Holy Spirit is there pointing to Jesus, now ascended to the right hand of God and reigning over all things for the benefit of his church, purified, purchased, cleansed by his baptismal waters. And the Holy Spirit points to Jesus as the one whom we are to be expecting to come again, to judge the world, to rescue his church. That's it. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit, salvation's story, the highlights of Jesus' life. Are we ready to move on now? Talk about bigger and better things? Heaven forbid. The Holy Spirit doesn't testify about Jesus so that we can get on to bigger and better things. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus, period. His disciples, his apostles, and those who came to believe in Jesus through their message have nothing else to preach, nothing else to teach, but who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what Jesus said. That's it. That's our message. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit and what the church is called to testify to. Jesus says, "You also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Actually, there is no must in the Greek. That's an NIV thing. Not, "You also must testify." It's a simple indicative verb. You also bear witness. You also testify. Because you've seen. Well, his disciples had seen. They were with Jesus from the beginning. Those words apply directly to them, only indirectly to us. You and I are secondhand witnesses. We were not with Jesus from the beginning. They were. The apostles were. But because of the Holy Spirit, because of the Spirit who inspired those apostles, who testified to those apostles and taught those apostles and brought them to speak and write their message and preserve it for us, you and I are not some thousandth generation witnesses. You and I have just as good a testimony. Not a personal testimonial that we would give here in church or even in your life. Here's what Jesus means to me. Not at all. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus did. Here's what the Bible says Jesus is and who he is. That's it. That's our testimony. Secondhand, just as good as firsthand, because it's the same Spirit who has testified with our spirits that we are children of God. Through the means of grace, the Holy Spirit has created that faith and still calls you to that faith, to know Jesus not as anything but what he says he is and what he said he's done. And that's comforting. That is our comfort and the comfort that the disciples had from Jesus, that it's sinners that Jesus has called, that the Spirit has called through his means of grace. That all depends on the work of the Holy Spirit whom Jesus would send, not on us, not on our testimony, not on our saying it the right way or getting everything right in the way we tell people about Jesus, just in telling people about Jesus. That's comforting. The Spirit is always pointing to Christ. But the point is, Jesus told his disciples this not just so that they could sit back and say, "What a wonderful life. We have the Holy Spirit with us." Jesus said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." And there is that snare that I mentioned before. So that you will not be caught in a snare, so that you will not be caused to stumble, so that you will not fall away. Why would they ever fall away? Why do they need this comfort of the Holy Spirit so desperately, this testimony of the Holy Spirit so urgently? they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. All of this about Jesus returning to the Father and sending the Holy Spirit was to prepare Jesus' disciples for life on earth here below after his ascension. And as he says, it would not be pretty. You would easily be caught in a snare, go astray, fall away, because of all the things that will happen to you because of me and your testimony of me. The very synagogues, the gathering place of the people of God up to that point, the Jews, the people of Israel, the very places where these disciples grew up hearing the word of God, hearing the promise of the coming Messiah, those very places where their brothers would gather every Saturday, every Sabbath, those very places would turn into the most hostile ground that Jesus' disciples would have to face. They would be excommunicated from the synagogue, but not with just a friendly, sorry, we don't agree with each other anymore. Here's the door. Have a nice life. They would be killed by these very brothers of theirs. Not by psychotic murderers, not by people who were just mean and nasty people, but by the very worshipers of God, or at least the Old Testament God that they now rejected because they rejected his Christ. They would be killed by their friends, by their family, by their brothers in Israel, and also by plenty of Gentiles along the way. Who could bear any of that? Think of what these very disciples who were listening to Jesus on that night before he was betrayed, think of what they did face. If you were part of our Acts Bible class on Sunday mornings, if you were there for that period at least, we talked about the fate of these 11 apostles. 10 of them were, at least according to tradition, murdered. Most of them were crucified as Jesus had been crucified. One of them, Bartholomew, is said to have been skinned alive before he was put to death. Who could bear that? Who could bear that, especially knowing that all it took to escape that kind of persecution, that kind of death, all it would take is to keep your mouth shut. Just say nothing. Go on about your life. Don't bother people. Don't, at least in public, don't get up and talk about Jesus, maybe with this guy in the corner. But as long as you don't say anything, you'll be okay. You won't have to suffer like this. Who would choose it? Who would stand up and speak when all it took to avoid that kind of fate was to be silent? The disciples of Jesus would quickly fall away, would quickly fall into that snare, would quickly fall into that temptation to just say nothing. But then, if they fell into that snare and even died at a ripe old age there in Israel without causing any waves, then at the time of their death, they would finally know what it was to fall into the hands of a living God. They would finally know what it was to let go of Jesus, because that would mean letting go of God's forgiveness and God's eternal life that are in Jesus. And then eternity would not be a rest, a peaceful rest in the grave. Their eternity would be the eternity of all those who reject Jesus, an eternity of condemnation. That's a snare they could never have possibly avoided if it weren't for the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent. For the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to give them hope of a crown of glory that doesn't fade, to give them help as they stood against all the persecution in the world. Their only hope, their only help was the Holy Spirit of God, who testified to them not just on the day of Pentecost, but as they stood before kings, as they stood before governors, and as they stood before their executioners. There was the Holy Spirit relentlessly testifying about Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. And that is how God sustained his people, his church, in the face of such terrible trial. Now, you and I do not probably face a similar fate of being skinned alive or crucified for our testimony about Jesus. That's good, right? It is good, but it's almost harder for you and me. It's like if you're holding on to your wallet or to your purse, you're holding it in your hand, and someone comes right up to you and makes to take it away from you, and they actually try to take it out of your hand, you pull back. You hold on more tightly to your wallet or to your purse. If someone comes up to you and just tries to take it away from you, it's when the pickpocket comes or the thief comes and distracts you and makes you look at something else that it's all too easy and you're all too susceptible to having it just swiped out of your back pocket or out of your reach. Your spiritual life is like that. I suppose that if our country suddenly started crucifying Christians, or at least lethal injection to Christians, Christians would probably rally to Christ and his word. But that's not what the devil's tactic is with you. Instead, he subtly and slowly and methodically chips away at your faith until it's gone and you don't even realize it's gone. It's just as dangerous for you and me in this world, and that physical danger could return even as it exists in other countries still. This is the danger you're in, and not just danger from physical persecution, but this subtly chipping away at your faith, distracting you from Christ. It's all around you. There's intellectual persecution that you face as Christians are derided for believing those old myths about creation and about a resurrection from the dead. There's social persecution as it becomes practically impossible not to fall into the temptations that have become the norm in our society. There's spiritual persecution, as how many churches are there out there? How many doctrines? How many teachings about Christ? How many denominations in the world? How could you possibly know the truth? There's spiritual persecution in the church, as even members of Christian churches, even Lutheran churches, could kick you out if you dare to stand on the truth. It happens. It can happen. All of these things. And then the devil comes with his cross that he lays on you and presses down on you when you're in the hospital room suffering, or in your home suffering. And he doesn't come right out and yell in your ear, "Jesus isn't God." He just whispers every day, quietly, continually, methodically. What point is there to believe in a God who lets this go on day after day after day? You think you're not in danger in this world? You think you can hold on to your faith and hold on until that crown of glory comes? You can't. You can't. Our only hope, our only help, is in the Holy Spirit of God, whom Jesus gives in word and sacrament, who comes in the sacrament and in the word and testifies, remember Jesus, he bore your sins on the cross. He suffered for you. He lives again and for always. He ascended to the right hand of God and intercedes for you and reigns over all things, including his promise ahead of time that part of his reign would include this suffering and that persecution. He has never lied to you. He has never misled you. The Holy Spirit testifies this Jesus will come again, will make everything all right, and even this will turn out for your good. Who could believe it? Not you, not me, not Jesus' disciples either. Our only hope, our only help is in the Holy Spirit of God. And next week, Sunday, we celebrate Jesus keeping his promise to send that Spirit to us on the day of Pentecost and until he comes again. The Paschal candle is no longer lit. And though Jesus no longer stands by your side so that you can see him and hear him, he has left for you all the hope and all the help that you'll ever need to avoid the snares, to hold on to faith and to eternal life. He's given you his Spirit, the Spirit who calls you and keeps you in the faith through this very word, through this very sacrament. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.